Senhor crucificado, limites nossos, livra nós Deus nosso. Não lhe bate a feita, Santo Amém. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins, grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In the reading yesterday, I was struck by some familiar words of our Father, which I think everybody is really familiar with. I'm not going to quote the whole lot, but just a few lines. And he says, "And from Christ's humanity, we shall go to the Father, to his almighty power and providence, unto the fruit of the cross, which is the Holy Spirit. And we will feel the need to immerse ourselves in this love, so as to find true life." So when we meditate about the Holy Spirit, we often recall the words our Father wrote in the way. Get to know the Holy Spirit, the great stranger on whom depends your sanctification. Don't forget that you are God's temple. The Advocate is in the centre of your soul. Listen to him and be docile to his inspirations. Then he goes on in the next point, don't hinder the work of the Paraclete. Seek union with Christ so as to be purified and feel with him the insults, the spits and the blows, the thorns and the weight of the cross, the nails tearing through your flesh and the agony of a forsaken death. And enter through our Lord's open side until you find sure refuge there in his wounded heart. So when we meditate about the Holy Spirit, we're always going to be reminded of these words of our Father, which is in the way there, which we've just read about listening to the Holy Spirit and going through our Lord's wounds, and also this get together, 1968, when he said, the fruit of the cross, which is the Holy Spirit, that is to say that the Holy Spirit comes to us if we embrace the cross. Now, since the Holy Spirit is love personified, in fact, St. Thomas gives him another name, not just like our Father, the great stranger or the great enough, but love. Holy Spirit is also understood to be love personified. So if we have to learn to have true love, let's say the love that is present in God, to qualify for belonging to the Blessed Trinity and enjoy union with them, then we have to identify our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, what has this got to do with Christmas? Since we know that when our Lord is born in Bethlehem, it is a time of great rejoicing. Did not the angel say to the shepherds, this is a day of great happiness and great joy. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men of goodwill. Well, this is true, but at the same time, the cross was there. Very, very definitely. The cross was there with Jesus from the outset. Where he was born was not really very comfortable at all. Poor Joseph had to search everywhere for somewhere for the Holy Family to live while they were in Bethlehem. And Our Lady was expecting Jesus. So in the end, we find that they have to take up residence in a stable. And Our Lady has to wrap Our Lord in swaddling clothes and lay the child in a manger, an eating trough for animals. So see how Our Lord is born in great poverty and also in hardship. The cross is there from the very beginning. Now, yesterday I gave a circle to the supernumeraries, and I always enjoy giving that circle because they are so receptive, which is not a reflection on those here present, of course, but they are very receptive. They laugh at all my jokes. They seem to enjoy what I have to say. This does not always happen, of course. Now, the topic was the Holy Mass. And what did I say? I said that the Holy Mass is the renewal of Calvary. And the renewal, therefore, of the cross. Our participation in the Mass consists in uniting ourselves to Jesus in his sacrifice on the cross, which is renewed in the Mass. Now, it's another of my little theories. The actions of God are all irrevocable. This is a typical insight. So when God decided he would become man, he can't go back on it and say, oh, I'm fed up of being a man. I'll go back to just being God. We won't have Jesus Christ or anything else. But no. Once God has decided to become man, that's it, forever. And we often say this in the liturgy, but rather unconsciously, really, not realizing what it means for him. He's saddled with our human nature for eternity. But you ask him and you say, but do you mind, really, Lord, that you've taken upon our human flesh and you can never be detached from it anymore? So, but it's a symbol, my son, of my love for you. It is telling you that my love for you is eternal, and that in the Mass is your opportunity to say thank you. I'm so happy you decided to stay with us. See how the words of the Gospel of the two disciples, Cleophas and the other one, who I think is St. Luke, because of course the details are there explained in Luke, and who was privy to that intimate conversation with Jesus on the way to Emmaus, speaks as a personal witness. So is there. Mane nobiscum Domine. Lord, stay with us. This is what our Lord loves to hear. And this is what we say in the Holy Mass. So we have to identify ourselves with Jesus. And not just with him, there being with him, as we are in the Mass, but with his intentions. Which were, and which are, to love and glorify his Heavenly Father, and at the same time make amends for our sins through his sufferings, and so winning souls for heaven. What did Jesus do? What is he doing agonizing on the cross? He's longing for our love. He's taking away our sins, relieving us of all our problems. Is it too much then for him to ask, unite yourselves with me on the cross in my suffering? So when our Lord laid down his life for souls, he was making amends for their sins, but his heart was full of love for his Heavenly Father and his love for us too. So we realize how suffering, the suffering of Christ on the cross, is a human expression of heavenly love. So it means that the more our Lord is suffering and agonizing, the more is loving. So that's a hint for when he's going to say to us, my son, take up your cross daily. Anyone who loves me and wants to be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. And the more you unite yourself to the cross, you are united to me in love. Now, on a previous meditation or somewhere or other, I mentioned how, among other people, St. Alphonsus drew attention to the penultimate verse of the Adorate Devote of St. Thomas Aquinas, where he says, Cuius una stilla totum mundum salvum facere. One drop of whose blood was enough to take away the sins of the entire world. Just one drop. So, Jesus, why then did you suffer all that agony? If only one drop would have managed to do it all, just one gesture of yours. Now, Saint Alphonsus has his answer, and he said that it was to provide a victim for the Mass. So when we renew the sacrifice of Calvary in the Mass, there is a priest who impersonates Christ in his eternal priesthood, but then you have the victim. And so he has to die to provide the victim. That's what St. Alphonsus says. And what do we say? Well, I'm stealing the idea from Gabriel Bosse's of the book of the He and I. Well, she says, Jesus, why did you suffer on the cross if you didn't need to? I might not have got this accurate, but my memory is a bit frail. Why, Jesus, did you suffer all that agony on the cross if you didn't really need to? But what I did remember is the answer. Yes, it's true, my daughter. I didn't, but you do. It's very important to realize that suffering is essential to our salvation. Our Lord himself didn't need to go through all that agony. But he went through it because we need to. And somebody had to show us the way. In actual fact, from the point of view of redemptive operation, theologically, he doesn't need to do anything hardly. One word, one prayer, one drop of sweat, not even of blood, would have been enough for the man of God to redeem the whole world. But he chose to die on the cross. Now, human beings are very reluctant to suffer. This is a problem that we have. When I was in the hospital, and I'd just come to after about a fortnight of, well, not entirely, to a fortnight of hallucinations, but a fortnight of being groggy and not knowing exactly where I was, I came to and I found myself sitting on the side of the bed, and there was this male nurse on his knees on cleaning my dirty legs. I won't tell you how they got dirty. And I woke up to the fact that I was alive. Not only alive, but I was myself. I was a priest. And so to speak, it reasserted itself. I reasserted myself. And I said to him, what is it, if you could choose, what is you would want most of all in life? And he looked at me, he was a very simple boy, to be happy. to be happy. Out of the babes and sucklings, you get the truth. Everybody wants to be happy. And you would say, if you wanted to continue, so you don't like pain then. You don't like suffering. Oh, no. And when you're in hospital, it is the set purpose of all the nuns and the doctors that you should not suffer. Quality of life is paramount. Nobody must suffer. Oh, I didn't hurt you, did I? It's true, this. I was there. Everybody. Nurses, doctors, the whole lot. They want to avoid pain. So you might say, but Jesus, if you didn't need to suffer, why do I have to? Why have I to suffer? I mean, you didn't like it, did you? You said, transfer calichumis to mame. Take this chalice away from me. The chalice is the word meaning pain. Take all the pain away. Take it away from me. He pleaded with his Heavenly Father. It was his prayer. He didn't want to suffer any more than you and I like it. But then we must remember, said non mea voluntas, said tua fiat. Not thy will, but thy will be done. And so we have to say the same. We have to take up our cross and follow him. He's gone before us, carrying his cross. We must follow in his footsteps. Now, St. Jose Maria knew all about this. And many of, he gave us over his lifetime, pieces of advice and suggestions about, which were designed really to make the way safe. Invented an ejaculation, Cor Maria Dulcissimum, Iter Paratutum. Make the way safe for us. Make it as pleasant and as easy as possible. The ways of the earth have been opened up. And he also knew that there was the way of the cross. But he would do his level best to make it easy for us as a good father. He did it with his mind, with his heart, with his love. I felt that when I was in Rome. Sometimes I was in great misery over the exams I'd failed. I had a string of exams, 5 exams that I'd missed out on, really because I just couldn't speak Spanish properly. But I was desperately miserable. But then the bell went. Oh, the father's in the sitting room. And I raced along with everybody else to sit at his feet, where all my troubles would disappear. He must have known he was taking away our sorrows. And of course he had his fill of them himself. He suffered a lot. I think I told you how I could never work out in my head. We've been told never to sit on the arms of a chair And apart from that, not to lean our head back on the settee because of the grease. See, in those days, we always used to put full cream on our hair. Those people who had hair, of course. But don't put that in that horrible old, not Ovaltine, that's what you used to drink that. Brilliantine and Brill Cream and these various things. It's because you make a mark on the back of the chair. That's why you had antimacassars. See, macassar means oil. Antimacassar. They used to put white cloths on the backs of chairs called antimacassars. Anyway, enough about it. Anecdotes. He sat on the edge of the chair. I didn't know till after our father died and Don Husserl's pastor told Stephen Reynolds, who in turn told me, that our father couldn't sit down properly because of the boils, the abscesses that he had, which Mama Pastor used to treat. So I sat just on the edge of the chair because he couldn't sit on the chair. He said at the beginning of his ordo, he used to put down, what did he put down? Nulla dies sine cruce in letizia. No day goes by without the cross, but with joy. It was a parody of Cicero, who had once said, nulla dies sine litera. No day must go by without writing, because he was a writer, he said. Nulla dies sine litera. But our father added on in Letizia, because although the cross is painful, in the end it brings us greater joy. And why is that? Because, as he said, our joy has its roots in the form of a cross. If you want to be really happy, then embrace the cross. Our Lady comes along to show us the way. Cor Mori Dulcissimum, iter para tutu. Causa nostra letizia, cause of our joy, pray for us. She shows us how, if we embrace the cross, we will find Jesus there. We are clinging to that empty cross without his crucified, and we put our arms around it, and we find we have embraced Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit will fill us full of the fruits, his fruits, charity, joy, peace, patience, longanimity, and so on. Every step of the way, then, is another step for the little donkey to tread. And then we see the luscious fruits in the garden of the vineyard. As we approach the day of our Lord's birth, we realise how he's going to enter into our life, to live our life. And it's a life which is full of hardship. But if we say to him about Jesus, was your life hard? He says, yes. But was it miserable or sad? No, it was full of joy. because I did it out of love for you. And we are then, through the cross, united together in love. We can ask Our Lady then, and St. Joseph, to help us over Christmas, to unite ourselves to the child, to embrace him, and to realize that although there will be many crosses to face in life, it will always be with joy, because we will find the Holy Spirit, the love of God, in our hearts. I give you thanks, my Lord, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.